If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
Captain! Captain!
Report.
Signatures detected!
Shields up!
Signatures detected!
Red alert!
Context Starfleet Command.
What's happening?
Context Starfleet Command.
Delay that order.
Context Starfleet Command.
This is the captain.
Context Starfleet Command.
Get out of my chair! Chair!
We have engaged the Klingons.
Klingons?
Welcome to The Greatest Discovery! It's a new Star Trek podcast from the makers of The Greatest Generation. I'm Adam Pranica.
I'm Ben Harrison, coming to you on tape, if you're listening to this as a podcast, but live on video if you're watching this on the Twitch stream.
Have you wanted to know how the show got made, how it would look to make the show?
Yeah.
Buckle up.
Have never been very curious about that, to be honest.
Hey, congratulations to Yusong out there making partner, I saw, on the Twitch.
Yeah.
Big congrats to him. Big fans of Doughboys and Yusong specifically, and yeah. Just doing an impossible thing, making partner.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know how you do it because you do all the things that Twitch says you have to do to make partner, and then they say, "Take a hike, bozo."
Yeah,
that's my experience of it.
Yeah, mine too. I mean, we're both in the Twitch ball kicking machine.
Yeah,
man,
yeah.
It's not great.
Not great. Well, Adam, this is a live episode, and we're going to actually bring in our producer, Robs, because you and I don't know what happens on today's episode. We told
That's
Robs,
right.
Listen, buddy, we've been remiss. We haven't absorbed all of the new Star Trek news. We need to. And so what Robs has done is come up with all of the news that's come out in the last few weeks about new, like, I mean, there's four series in production at this point. So there's a lot to go over, I imagine. And
yeah.
He is going to join us here with the magic of television internet.
Well, enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
I don't like this at all. I'm not going to look at the feed during. I don't think I can do that.
It's uncomfortable, to say the least. Guys, yeah, I scoured the web. I was like, first contact day. What happened? I don't even remember. It feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
But I came up with some good stuff.
Oh, good. I can't believe that any good stuff would be available for what we have to do here today, but apparently it is.
Yeah.
What do you say? Do you guys want to get into this episode and talk about some Trek news? I mean, we've got a new Star Trek podcast here. We should be talking about the news.
Why? When did I switch seats? I just looked up and now I'm in the middle?
Yeah, I moved you into the middle.
I don't like this. Can you put me back where I was and put Rob's in my lap?
Like, whoa, is this like a little man situation?
Come here, Rob's.
I think what we should do is all become very little guys because we're going to have Rob's play us some clips and we'll live react to those clips as we watch them here on the stream. So why don't we do a bit of that? Now we're really little.
Oh, this is better.
Have you heard about this character, Jean-Luc Picard?
I've heard he's a tremendously popular Starfleet captain.
There's going to be a second season.
Yeah, so second season is happening, and we've got a trailer to watch, am I right?
Yeah, it's a little tease.
Let's see it.
The true final frontier is time. time can turn even our most impulsive, our most ill-considered actions into history. What we do in a crisis often weighs upon us less heavily than what we wish we had done. What could have been? Time offers so many opportunities, but never second chances.
The trial never ends.
I'm back! It's me, Bajora Tablet. I'm a recurring character.
Are we going to get the scene where Q is at the pile of rocks where human body Picard is buried? And is like, I'm sorry I was too late, old friend. And then like a tap on his shoulder and Gollum Picard picks him up by like the scruff of the neck, throws him across the winery.
The first thing I honestly felt when I saw that trailer, and this is not the first time I've seen that trailer, but the first thing I thought about it when I saw it was that the letter Q has changed meanings for me in the last 4 years. And I couldn't help but first think that Picard has taken the red pill and is like a fucking dirtbag now. The second thing I thought was, wouldn't it be funny if it panned over that playing card and it was a Joker and we heard like a
the crossover no one asked for.
Yeah. Picard in the DC extended universe.
Wow.
Oh my god, that's dangerous.
People have been speculating that that tablet on his desk means Sisko may be involved in the new season, and he has also had run-ins with Q. I mean, we know John DeLancey is involved, but Avery Brooks being involved would be some wild shit.
Maybe the show can just pivot into two crime-fighting golems driving around the galaxy, kicking ass.
Yeah. You know, Picard plays by the book. Sisko is a religious zealot.
Does Avery Brooks even act anymore? Last I saw, he was teaching sometimes, but not even really doing much of that. Like,
I don't know. I mean, you got to imagine that he has a number at the very least.
Everyone's got a number.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Avery Brooks, though, and this is a projection, obviously, but like, why would Avery Brooks be in a show that wasn't the Avery Brooks show?
Right.
Like, why would he play second to as great as Patrick Stewart is? Like, why would he be co-star?
That's a good point. I mean, I guess P. Stu has had like the big movie career since his Star Trek days, and
mm-hmm.
the actors on the original series like famously got fucked out of royalties for that show.
Mm-hmm.
Did everybody else also get fucked out of royalties for Star Trek, or did the actors unions address that when TNG happened? I don't know the answer to these questions.
Like, let's take a poll. Like, are you pro Sisko and Picard season two? Do you want this? Do you want this even?
I would enjoy it. I would enjoy it because I think that one of the things that I really wanted to see more of in Deep Space Nine is, like, if Sisko really hates Picard and has an axe to grind with him, why didn't they ever like go back to that and deal with it anymore? Like, it seemed like he blamed Picard for everything. It was all Picard's problem, all Picard's fault. Right. And you know, and I think that like that's a reasonable position for a man in Sisko's you know, that dealt with what Sisko dealt with. But
is a golem impervious to a Pa Wraith? Like, could he not go up into your eyeballs if you're a golem?
Man.
Maybe that's the ultimate defense.
I mean, it seemed like a pretty good defense.
Yeah. I don't know. 359 Truther says, I want Kira in Picard season two more than Sisko.
Shit.
Hell yeah. Fucking right.
I want Ro Laren in Picard season two more than anyone.
Yeah. I like those possibilities.
Yeah.
If we can't get the Cisco, there are a number of others that, I don't know, would be fun to see.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a willingness of the show to bring some people back.
Totally. A suggestion made in the chat, Doubt Furious says Kira would blow up Riker's pizza oven in Star Trek Colin Picard.
Hey, speaking of pizza ovens, we do have an Adam Ragusea in the chat right now.
Hey,
wow.
Goose.
Wow. What's up, the goose?
Welcome.
But John DeLancey has like talked a bunch about the fact that he's going to be in season two, right?
Yeah. I actually pulled up something that he had like a quote in this TrekMovie.com where he's like, I have shot two seasons worth.
Whoa.
Of a very different Q for Star Trek Picard. Yes.
Yeah, that's what we want. A very different Q.
Yes. He's not talking about lining up, guys.
Do you think that has, like, this is probably like a morbid question, but do you think that has anything to do with age? Anything more to do with age than production schedule at this point? Like, if you know you're going to tell a story that goes for a certain number, like the arc is going to be multi-seasonal, maybe, would you not want to smush the production together to make sure that you can get it all in?
Right.
I mean, we've run into John DeLancey before at conventions and stuff. He looks like he's in tip-top shape, but like you just never know.
Right. Maybe they're doing so much stuff with green screen that it's just like, yeah, why don't we shoot a couple seasons worth while we've got the time on the stage and the actor?
Yeah.
Who knows?
We just need more golems in real life is what we need.
Yeah.
I would definitely put myself in a golem. I wouldn't even think about it. Wouldn't think twice.
You'd probably be impervious to radiation, right? Like you could like go outside the ship and fix the hull.
Yeah. Do you think the expectations of Picard as golem change? Because like Picard season one, Picard's kind of a dope. He's slow. He can't run.
He can't fight Romulans or anything.
Yeah. Like he was kind of a liability in those... In the street attack scene specifically, like, what if all of a sudden he's like Colossus from X-Men and he is just kicking all kinds of ass?
Yeah, that would be really exciting.
That's a fun pivot for season two.
I just look forward to them cutting to the wide shot so that the very much younger stuntman can do the fight scene, and then they cut back and get a little close-up of him going like,
Yeah. I remember in that dinner scene, they were like the dinner scene of the season finale. They were like, now the way we made this golem is that you'd never notice a difference in any part of your body, in anything about yourself, as kind of a writerly trick to the thing.
Right.
That can't be the case, right?
No.
He's going to like, something's going to happen. He's going to discover super strength.
He's going to grow Goro arms.
Yeah, he's going to start ripping people's limbs from their bodies.
He's the villain in season two, actually.
that would be great.
They need to get Q's help to stop him because he's become so powerful.
That would be a very different Q, that's for sure. Oh, man.
All right, Robs, why don't we try for this next clip?
Yes.
I see many tabs going across the top of that browser.
So as we know, Picard Season 2 isn't the only thing that's on the map right now. We've also got a fourth season of Star Trek Discovery, and Anthony Rapp gave a first look.
How do you think they decide that? Like, how do they go, like, which actors' Twitter are we going to give tens of thousands of new followers to?
I don't know, but I'm glad he was one of them. That's it. Should we watch it?
Yeah, let's watch this sucker.
We're all living in uncertainty. Even for a crew as familiar with it as this one. The stress is taking its toll. But we are not in this alone. None of us are.
5 light years across. That's the size of the gravitational anomaly.
Where is it headed next?
It could go anywhere. And we may not have any kind of warning at all.
Federation, non-federation. This anomaly threatens us equally.
Whatever it is, we'll figure it out together.
Indeed, we are more than allies.
Captain Burnham, make no mistake. You are in charge.
She has faith in me.
We are facing something we don't understand. Something that could tear us all apart. But there's only one way to confront the unknown. Together.
No, don't go close up on the Saru fingers.
Yeah.
That's not an image you want as the last one people see in your trailer.
Yeah, that's a deterrent for sure.
Well, we see Saru. He's in there. We see Grudge.
Yeah.
New uniforms for the crew. Seems noteworthy. They're official.
They're going to stay.
Yeah.
They've decided to stay. That's the decision.
I don't think that was ever in question. You always seem to hold out hope that they might go back to the past.
Did anyone ever bring it up? Voyager is such an interesting corollary for this. Like,
yeah.
Everyone wants to go back on Voyager.
Right.
No one has expressed that on Discovery.
Well, I think that they made the decision, eyes open, that they had to take the sphere data into the future and leave it there. But I guess there's no reason for them not to think like, oh, we could leave it here and then us go back by some other means.
Right.
Oh, but it's the temporal accords thing, right? It's like we can't go back because time travel is so illegal. We'll get in so much trouble.
Oh, it was that's the whole reason we saw it. That's the deterrent.
Yeah.
What the hell was that guy's name? The guy in the TNG front zip uniform.
Oh yeah.
We did a whole bit on him.
Yeah, what was his name?
See, this is the stuff we just edit back in.
Yeah, we'll just edit back
Yor!
In.
Yor! Yor is the deterrent, right? You don't want to end up like Yor.
Yeah.
That's why we're not going back.
And you can't trust Carl's hole, you know? Carl's hole is a trick more often than not.
We can only send certain people back. If you have your own series, we'll send you back. That's it, though.
Yeah. What do you think of the new uniform? It may just be that I'm resistant to change, but I kind of liked the old uniform.
Yeah, I mean, kind of boxy.
It's a bit on the boxy side.
More Romulan than I like to see on a Federation person.
It's got some tea koozie vibes, doesn't it?
It does remind me a lot of like something Kimmy Gibbler would wear. Interrupting breakfast at the Tanner's house.
Spandex is not for everyone.
Seems like there's an anomaly and it's really big and it can do lots of damage and they don't know when or where.
Did you read the rumor that people think it's V'ger?
Whoa, that's fun.
That's one of the big theories. Like, really? Come on. Don't make it V'ger.
I hope they don't make it V'ger. That would be bad. Gotta tell new stories in the new future.
That's what I'm saying. Why go to the new future if you're not going to tell new stories there?
Yeah. Don't encourage them to do bad things, rumor mongers.
Yeah.
It's true.
This wasn't encouragement. I want to be clear.
Fresh ideas.
Wow. I'm excited about that. Do we have dates for any of these shows, Robs?
It looks like the only thing we have solid dates on is Lower Decks, which was next on my list.
Let's get into it. What a great transition for me to have asked, and no other stuff happened on this episode of The Greatest Discovery.
At all. We all know these great Lower Decks characters. Everyone loves them. Boimler, you know, and the rest. August 12th, they're coming back. So that's right around the corner.
So we only have June and July, really, to keep stretching the taffy of The Greatest Discovery off season, right?
Yeah. And the interesting thing about that is, and we can talk more specifically about this later, but what's going on with Star Trek Prodigy? Now, I proposed a timeline, guys.
Yeah.
If Lower Decks is the next show to go live, and we just set Prodigy over to the side for a second, and every season has 12 episodes on average, it looks like Lower Decks is going to be August to October, Discovery potentially November to January, and
wow,
Picard could then be February to April.
Is there any question about whether or not we're going to do Prodigy? We're doing Prodigy, right?
I think we have to.
Yeah, that would be great. It's got Kate Mulgrew in it, right?
Yeah.
But are we going to do an adults-only Greatest Gen-style version of a children's show, or are we going to do a show that is all ages because Prodigy's all ages?
I say we do a lot of like Schedule One drugs and review episodes of Prodigy.
That's a surefire way to make partner on Twitch.
Yeah. The Star Trek convention people will withdraw all their overtures to try and get us to come perform at their convention.
Yeah. The people love our oblique references.
The two percenters that are only two percenters to us.
Something I will say about Prodigy, though, guys, it's officially confirmed to take place in the Delta Quadrant, a place you are becoming well more aware of.
Yeah.
The home of the Voyager Adventures, and it'll be in 2383. But I'm not sure what that math is. I don't know where like DS9 leaves off and Voyager picks up. But 2383 seems further than Voyager.
We need to bring in the expert on all things Voyager, Bree Belke, to answer these questions. What
is this going? Is this show going to have spoilers for Voyager? Are we going to ruin our rewatch of Voyager?
Oh, it'll ruin it for me because I still don't know if they make it home.
Ooh, I will say this: I saved some of the lines that were in the headlines and little Trek News Corps things because I felt like it was going to spoil some Voyager stuff. So I think that's what's going to happen.
People are saying post Voyager in the chat.
Mm.
Wow. The image of the characters is, it looks more Star Wars-y than Star Trek to me. The like character designs.
Do they all keep their genitals in the same place?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a show about Janeway just going and kicking everyone in the knee and seeing what happens.
It's a health show on Nickelodeon. The kids aren't going to school anymore.
There's going to be a whole new universe of kinks. Like, you know, Dan Savage is like not even going to be able to do his show in 15 years because these kids will grow up and sex will have become so rococo that nobody will be able to give them advice.
I feel like Universe of Kinks is the show title.
Oh, wow.
I think you just got there. We got people in the chat just saying ding, which is way better than people at a live show saying ding.
That was one of the worst choices we ever made was to say, to get the audience involved in dinging the title. That did not work.
Oof. Yeah, never do that again. We learn a lot on those live shows.
Through failure.
Yeah.
One day we'll release Who's Learned the Most?
Wow.
I have a question for you guys involving Prodigy. A lot of times when I would watch Nickelodeon shows like Doug or Cat Dog or whatever, it's two 15-minute episodes in one half-hour block.
Oh, because kids have such short attention spans.
Yeah, and we don't respect them.
Right.
If that's the case for Prodigy, potentially shake up episode structure?
You're suggesting that we release two mini Greatest Discoveries every week?
Or two episodes in the same day, but consumed as two separate entities, potentially.
Hmm. I'm sure that the network would love that. We're just doing weird shit with our feed for no reason.
See, this is what producers have to do, though, because we got to innovate.
Would they really care?
I mean, the nice thing is that they don't own our show, so we could do weird shit with the feed for no reason.
That's what my point was. Yeah, we could do whatever we want.
I don't hate it.
Me neither. I love the idea of a 15-minute source show, and the rest of the 45 minutes Ben and I spend just fucking around talking about whatever. I've been wanting a more freeform show. I've been wanting more Marin.
You want a long enough Marin that they could refer to it as a Marin era.
It's true. That's what I'm advocating for. We don't know who any of these characters are. We don't know what their backstories are. Who's your favorite character in the lineup?
The one that looks like Snot Claude.
Snot's your favorite?
Snot's my favorite, yep. What was your favorite?
I mean, it's obviously thing in overalls.
Wait, aren't there two things in overalls?
I'm talking about guy on the right.
The guy, one in from the left, kind of looks like he may have overalls on too.
I always like when you play the video games and you have to select among the many characters, like fighting games are like this. I always like the biggest guy. Mm-hmm. The biggest guy is often not the best guy.
He's usually slower than the...
Right.
You get what you sacrifice in an agility, you gain in inertia and overall HP.
Right. And often those characters will have like the craziest finishing moves or whatever. Uh-huh. And
I never know the button combos for the finishing moves is my problem.
You have to really get lucky to win with the biggest guy, I think.
Adam, would you consider yourself a Blanca boy?
Oh, yeah. Blanca boy from back in the day, for sure.
I was always a Dalsum daddy.
Ooh, wow. They just call me a Chun-Li chap because that's where I went with everything.
I was also big time Chun-Li, Robs. Chun-Li kicks fucking ass.
Yeah, you get him trapped with that kick, man. I'm sure that people don't like that method of playing. I would have to choose, though, out of this list of Prodigy Elite, the little robot guy on the left.
That robot kind of looks like it could potentially like pull its limbs all into it and roll around like BB-8. And I feel like that is a danger at this point in robot character design. You can't be BB-8. You can't even get close to being BB-8.
Are they trying to sell merch here? Is that what's motivating this character design?
Oh, I bet you're right. I bet these are all going to be action figures that you get down at your local Target.
I think the Star Trek comparison is apt, especially with like the like late success of Rebels and all of the Disney Plus cartoons they've rolled out. This is Paramount Plus. Yeah. I mean, this is their Star Wars, obviously, so very exciting.
Well, I'm just glad that we're getting children interested in pansexual space socialism at an early age.
When is the Jamah Harone episode of Prodigy?
Hey, kids, we're going to Ryza. Not everyone keeps their genitals in the same place.
Yeah. Guys, I did have something else kind of fun that is related, I would say, to cartoons, and that's a new toy that was announced.
A new toy.
Exactly. When we're on tour, we display a lot of different figurines on the table. I know Card Daddy's a big collector. And this First Contact Day Picard is uncanny valleying my brain right now.
Whoa. That expression is a real mood.
Yeah.
It's weird how from different angles it looks more and less realistic.
Yeah. Does his mouth open? It seems like at certain angles his lips are pursed and then other angles they're not.
Is it like that robot mouth that they made to like see if they could get a mechanical device to make human noises and it just goes ba 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 ba.
I'd hate to hear it when the batteries are running out.
No, these are getting worse as you click through.
Is part of it that the fabric is just the wrong scale for a human face?
It looks like Picard has Durst face.
I did get a direct message from the Card Daddy that says he's just sickeningly waxy and almost has Kevin Spacey vibes.
Wow.
That's fair.
The array of hands and guns it comes with is pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you take the shirt all the way off and get JL Pipes mode when he like rope climbs in the big climactic scene in the warp core?
People do mod toys, right? Like, so we could like put aspects of this with like an old He-Man toy.
Oh yeah.
And really put the pipes on it.
You could recreate the murder of Ensign Lynch whenever you want.
I never knew how deep the mod of toys world went, but Bill Tilly runs our Greatest Trek Instagram account, and he just has used it to follow all these toy modding accounts. So when I go on there to like post something, if Bill is at work and can't get to it or whatever, I'm just like, oh, somebody has like gone in and made like this an Uncanny Valley Balana Torres toy. or whatever.
Hey, Robs, does this company, have they made other Star Trek related figures that do it this way, or is this the first time they've done it?
I believe they have, and I think there was also a Data toy. Let's see if there was a link to that in here.
Robs, I'm nervous for you with these tabs. I'm worried you're going to click on a tab and we're going to see something bad.
Well, yeah. Just be comfortable.
There it is.
Boy. Oh, man.
Wow.
Too bad people didn't tune in for this one. They would have seen just what a T-bone steak almost looks like. yeah, here's the Data, which seems intense.
Yeah. So are they replaceable heads, or are there skin flaps that you put on this action figure?
Oh, God.
That's got to be a replaceable head situation. Somebody in the chat is saying that this Data toy is $189.
What?
That's a pretty penny.
You know what? For next year's Max Fun Drive, we should get a couple of these and then explode them somehow.
Strap them to an M80.
Yeah.
Adam, these rifles that these guys come with look a lot like the 3D printed rifle you opened on a recent Code 47 Marin on Greatest Gen.
It's true. That's a weapon I have in a box.
As a kid, I would have killed to have the tricorder and phaser that came with my Star Trek toys actually be differentiated of color and have details on them and not just be injection molded in like purple plastic.
Yeah, I mean, this is the dream, right?
This is the dream. This is where your $189 is going.
You see Data in the package, you think a couple of things. You think about all the scenes you could create, all the fun you could have,
right.
And also what his head would look like on a stick. Super gross.
It's to serve as a warning to other action figures that might
Secondary heads should be a thing that come in all action figure packages.
that Wrath of Khan figure that we have, I feel like has a few secondary limbs. That sometimes comes on tour with us.
That thing has secondary pecs.
Wasn't really made for traveling, that figure.
What's great about displaying these action figures on our stage setup is we'll put them together and then we'll like have our menagerie up front, and then we'll just dump the heads and the hands in a pile at the feet of the action figures.
Yeah, we're like, what do we do with these? I don't know.
Really sets the tone.
Hey, Robs, I see a YouTube link in the chat that says Lower Deck Season 2 trailer.
Ooh.
I'd say non-zero chance that's just a Rickroll, but do you want to live dangerously and click on it?
I am going to live dangerously, and I'm going to do that by opening the link in a separate tab that is not being shared on the screen.
Sergeant Siege would never do that to you.
What up? We doing sci-fi stuff today?
Only thing missing is Boimler. He's got to be having the time of his life.
Red alert! I'm starting to think this jam session's got too many licks and not enough comps.
What does that even mean?
Wow.
Oh, man, that Jonathan Frakes makes it fun, huh?
Yeah.
Mm.
Every situation more fun with him.
Yeah. I forgot that Boimes is stationed on a different ship at the beginning of this. I wonder if they're going to get him back to the Cerritos. Do you think he'll do something to, like, fuck up and get bumped down to Cerritos? Or does he put in for a transfer?
I think you can tell more in different stories if they're in different places, though.
Yeah,
that's
true. They
might be into that for a whole season.
I could get into that as well. I like seeing the Anbo Jitsu get up on Ensign Mariner there. That's fun.
I wonder if Boimler would potentially get his ship in a situation where they all need to be rescued. And this series story is how everyone has to save Boimler again.
I mean, the first season was so episodic that it'd be surprising if they went with a big, long, season-long arc kind of format for season two, but I feel like they have enough freedom with that show that they potentially could. Who do you think would win in a fight between Captain Riker and Ensign Mariner in an Anbo Jitsu battle?
Wow.
I'm still grieving the loss of Shax, honestly, and how badly I would like to see that character fight Ambo Jiu-Jitsu.
Damn, that would be huge.
They sent him out on top, though, RSVP Shax.
I'm going to have to rewatch that series before it comes back, because I feel like I forgot how much I loved Shax. I forgot I was missing him.
Yeah.
I think someone's going to learn from, like, Shax's journal.
Ooh.
And so we'll probably get some fun flashbacks, because it feels like Shax isn't a character you create to just kind of toss to the side after the first season. Great.
Mm.
Great cut to the wide with him, but...
Shax flashbacks.
But he's a powerful character.
Yeah. Are we going to be cutting to the wide even more in season two?
As of this recording, our Futurama episode has dropped today, but we talked a lot about like the comedy math of Futurama versus Lower Decks. And one thing I came back to and re-listening to that is if the ship is fucked up in Lower Decks, it's fucked up. Like, they have to fix the ship is like guaranteed to be a part of the logic in a Lower Decks episode. Whereas if you fuck up the ship in Futurama, the next scene, it might be back to normal with no explanation.
Yeah.
Right.
And how many times did the Planet Express crash just in this episode? Like 4 times? Yeah.
Kind of a lot. Yeah. Wow. Well, that was exciting. I'm glad that wasn't a Rick roll. I've seen that video plenty of times.
We can only do that trick once, though. Like, we can never click on another link in the chat.
Oh, yeah. We,
after this, we after burned the first that time
today. Yeah. You guys were all here for it when we burned the clicking a link in the chat trick. Do we want to, are there any other tabs in your browser?
I am at the full amount of news that I was able to find the most salacious. So my tabs have been counted and we are
totally
good.
Run through.
Yeah. There is one thing that I didn't tab out, but we should discuss. They did push the Trek movie another year. So still waiting on that next movie.
Well, that is not exactly a shock.
Yeah, I haven't really been even thinking about another Star Trek movie, to be honest. It seemed like that's going to be in development hell forever.
I mean, movies in general are in development hell now. Mm-hmm. Movies as a thing. Well, Rob, thank you so much for sitting in with us. I think Adam and I need to go check out the Priority One message inbox and... So I'm going to fade you out, but thank you so much for walking us through all the new Trek news, producer Robs.
No problem. I know this is an episode after Max Fun Drive, but I just want to say thanks to everyone who pledged during the drive. Means a lot to me. And you guys have a good rest of the episode.
Thanks
Robs. We just described all of the new Star Trek programming coming out that we are obligated to cover.
Yeah.
And if you want us to be able to continue to do that, supports the way it happens.
It is. All right, Adam, do you want to get into the P1s?
Oh, yeah.
Priority One message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Ben, our first Priority One message is from Ryan from Sacktown. It is to Ben and Adam.
All right. I feel like we keep hearing from Ryan from Sacktown.
Ryan keeps the show going with these P1s.
It's true.
Message goes like this. When I heard you were taking pitches for ep ideas, just had to toss in my 2 cents.
Wow.
First choice would be the pilot of Red Dwarf.
Huh.
The less you know about the first ep before you see it, the better. So I'll say no more. But
okay.
It's a ton of fun.
Wow.
All right. Noted, Ryan from Sacktown. Second choice. Is S2E26 Assignment Earth from TOS. So it's a TOS recommended episode.
Okay.
Such a dumb good time, says Ryan from Sacktown. Are we going to do it? I kind of like the second one.
Okay.
More than the first, if I've got to choose.
Do you want to make it interesting and flip a coin and just go with whatever the coin tells us to do?
I feel like Red Dwarf was always on the PBS station of the friend of my parents. Like, we'd go visit my parents' friends, and then we'd get sat in front of the TV to watch public television and Red Dwarf would be on it. It was just totally impenetrable to me.
Yeah.
I don't have good memories of Red Dwarf.
That's how I feel about Doctor Who. But maybe the way to cleanse that is to revisit it from Jump. But I don't know.
I'm going into the chat for this. What we can't do a vote in the chat, can we? Is that a thing?
Oh, that's probably a thing. Maybe if we were partners, we could do a vote in the chat.
Oh yeah, maybe we can get Yusung in here to set up some sort of voting system.
Yeah, that would be great.
God, people want us to do Red Dwarf.
Wow, I feel like it looks pretty split.
What would you rather do? I don't want to flip a coin. It feels too dangerous. I want to do what we want to do.
Yeah. Okay, let's do TOS. We'll enjoy it.
All right.
The next priority one message we have here is from Sherry, and it's to Q. Uh-oh. Q. No, not that Q. Andy Scotty, too hottie Q. You've always wanted one of these personal messages. Well, here you go. I spent all my gold-pressed latinum to pay for this message just for you. I am not Picard. I am your wife. If you don't absolutely love this message, you owe me a gift. Maybe some shoes, so I'm as cute as a Borg. Love, your queen. Wow. Q has got a great wife, I can tell. I can tell Q's wife is totally rad.
I just sort of figured Q would be, I'm glad Q and Cherry are together, mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But I think you got to be a pretty impressive person to hang on to a Q.
Yeah. To hang on to Q even now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you to Sherry and Ryan from Sacktown for getting those priority one messages. If you listening would like one, head to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to... oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Okay, Adam.
Hey, Ben.
What? Shit.
Did you discover yourself an Edward Larkin?
Edward Larkin!
You know, it's got to be Rob's, right? It has to be Rob's.
Yeah, Rob's is the Edward Larkin of this episode.
First timer for Rob, I think.
Yeah. He created a Tribble-like number of clips for us to watch.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. We kind of threw that at him like yesterday afternoon. We said, hey, get a sense of what's going on Trek news-wise, and then put a show together for us. And he did a great job. That's why he's such a talented producer.
It's been that kind of week. It's been a week of, you have a day to do this, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah.
And it's been all around us.
It really has. I'm hoping that will pay off in spades on Thursday when we do our big Destroy the Falcon 2 : Destroyer the Colosseum event.
Yeah.
But, for now, why don't we throw to Rob's outro, and he will take it away from here.
The Greatest Discovery is a Maximum Fun podcast hosted by Adam Pranica and Ben Harrison. It's produced by me, Rob Schulte. Our theme music is by Adam Ragusea. Go check out his YouTube channel and cook your next meal today. Thanks so much for all of the help during the Max Fun Drive. If for whatever reason you've decided now is the perfect time to join, just go to MaximumFun.org/join and pledge your support. Anytime someone supports, it's helpful to our show. So thank you. If you'd like to follow us in other areas of the internet, we've got a Twitter, an Instagram, this Twitch channel. The social media is run by the great Bill Tilly, our card daddy. He's also the firewall for any questions directly related to Adam and Ben, so shoot him a DM on the Twitter if you've got a question about the show. Make sure to leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Greatest Discovery.
Oh shit, did everybody freeze but me?
I'm
Oh shit, Rob's is frozen.
Rob's is frozen and he
unless
looks,
he's doing a bit on
no.
us.
He looks shocked. Oh my god.
No. What the hell is going on?
It's a very surprising conclusion to the show, Ben.
Yeah. I'm gonna hit stop on my audition, by the way.
Okay. I'll go and do the same so now we can talk in private about Rob's. He'll never
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.